Hopefully on your way in you've got a Bible and you've got a chocolate bar.
Yes.
Only one. What are you lacking, Paul? Oh. Don't need to be greedy. We're not made of money around here. Hopefully on your way in you've got a Bible and a chocolate bar. You can eat the chocolate bar whenever you like. You don't have to save it. You can eat it if you want to. But with your Bible, could you turn with me to page 561? 561. Oh, good question. 561 is Psalm 34. Psalm 34. For those with special devices. Psalm 34. Now, David is writing Psalm 34, and he is in a rubbish situation. It's awful. It's very difficult for him. He's been chased by a rival. That sounds bad, doesn't it? What's your question, Benji? A rival. Josh, what's a rival? And I was asking, Emmanuel, what's a rival? An enemy. He's been chased by an enemy. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Yeah? Yeah, that sounds bad. He's been chased by an enemy. He's had to pretend to be absolutely mad to get away from the enemy. And then he's left all of his stuff, and now he's in a cave with absolutely nothing. He's in a cave with absolutely nothing. How do you think David is feeling?
Rubbish.
Rubbish. David is probably feeling rubbish, but he writes Psalm 34, and this is what he says in Psalm 34, verse 1. In this rubbish situation, he says, I will extol, that means praise, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt, let us praise his name together. David's in this awful situation, and what does he do? He praises the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He's in this awful situation and he praises the Lord. David seems to have seen such goodness in God that even when he's in a hard situation, he can still praise the Lord. And he invites us, even if we're afflicted and suffering, to glorify the Lord with him in verse 3. He invites us, he says, let us exalt his name together. And so we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song that invites us to clap our hands and shout for joy. Might be you don't feel like that this morning. Sometimes a good thing to do when you don't feel like it is to practice it and sing the song anyway, and it helps you. So let's stand together and we're going to sing Clap Your Hands, Shout for Joy, and you'll see why in a minute, but let's just enjoy this song. Let's stand together. Psalm 34, hopefully you've still got it open. Psalm 34, page 561, it goes on. Psalm 34, verse 4, David says in this awful situation, he praises the Lord, and then he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. Speaking of himself, he says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. David was in this awful situation, and so the beginning of verse 4, what did he do? He sought the Lord. He went seeking after God. He looked for him. He went to him and prayed to him and gave himself to him and said, Lord, I need you. Help me. He sought the Lord. And it was David's experience that God answered him and delivered him and protected him and helped him. And then he invites everybody who's listening to him and reading the psalm that he's written to do verse 8. Verse 8. Hopefully you can see it. We're going to say it together. Let's read verse 8 together. You ready? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. That is David's invitation. David invites us to see that his experience is true for more people. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I think we'll put it on the screen. Here it is. Many of you know that we have verse cards that you go on your fridge and that kind of thing. I was going to say they haven't arrived yet. They haven't been ordered yet, okay? Because it was finished last night, okay? So they'll be available. You will get them. But that will give us another opportunity when we give those out to look again at Psalm 34, verse 8. Here it is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I thought it would be helpful if we're going to learn this verse, if it's going to be a verse that's precious to us this year, that shapes us and helps us, I thought it would be helpful if we had some actions to help us remember it. And now you might be able to come up with better actions than these, but here's where I've got to, okay, and we'll learn this together. Taste and see, and then we sang Clap Your Hands, the Lord is good. Got that? Taste and see, the Lord is good. There you go. For the second verse, I learned some makaton. Okay? Blessed is thumbs up that come together. Blessed. Blessed. It's good, isn't it? Blessed. Blessed is the one who takes refuge. What do you think? I think we're going to... takes refuge, okay? Think of it like a roof, taking refuge under a roof. Takes refuge in him, okay? Blessed, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Do you think we can put all that together? Ready? Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Hey, that's good. Well done. Off you go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.
Hey, that was pretty good. What psalm is it? Very good. Well done. Well done. We'll have lots of opportunities through the year to remind ourselves of Psalm 34, verse 8, and refresh those actions so that we get them just right and they help us. We're gonna sing a song, another song that connects up what is in the psalm about the Lord being good, connects up the Lord being good with the Lord Jesus and the ways that he is good. So we're going to sing a song that in the middle of the chorus has that same phrase, the Lord is good. And then some of the verses are going to tell us this. If we're thirsty, Jesus can satisfy. If we're weak, he can be our strength. If we fear, he can be our shield or refuge. If we're lost, he will come to find us. Because he's good, we can always run to Jesus. Let's stand together if we're able and sing, Jesus said that if I thirst. I wonder as we reflect on Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. I wonder what you notice. Just have a moment in your chair, reflect on those words. I wonder what stands out to you. I wonder if anything grabs your attention. Anybody notice anything interesting? Anything grab anybody? Think, oh, that, hmm. Yeah, taste and see. That's interesting, isn't it? That's quite an experience thing, isn't it? Tasting and seeing. Good thought. Any other things that grab your attention or make you think, that's interesting, or what's that all about? Emmanuel, what are you? Is there something about that you find really interesting? Yeah, God is like our shield. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Go on. Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, it's not a lie back on your sunbed and there's an activity, there's a tasting, a seeing, there's a taking refuge. Yeah, well, let's have a think about these words together. Anybody got any ideas why I've given you a chocolate bar? Because I'm a nice guy. Oh, yeah. Is anybody lactose intolerant or can't have dairy? Mick, I'll get you a special chocolate bar, okay? Huh? Chris says no. Anybody else need a chocolate bar? Everybody got one? You haven't got one? You want another one? You haven't got one. There we go. Look, this is a small token, a small thing, a tangible thing to help us just think, as you taste chocolate, there's something going on, isn't there? There's a goodness to it. It's all very well saying, there you go, Paul. There's a chocolate bar, mate. Well, you want to actually taste the goodness of it, don't you? And that's something about what's going on in this verse. So it's just a token, a little gift to help us remember to actively taste that the Lord is good. And so a question as we think about Psalm 34, verse 8, and the year ahead. Will we be like squirrels or hippos in the year ahead? What does a squirrel do? Mikey, what does a squirrel do? Yeah, and you put your hands to your mouth, haven't you? And they eat like this, don't they? They nibble. They just take tiny, tiny bites. Everybody know that, don't they? Just tiny, tiny bites. It takes them ages to eat anything. They just take tiny, tiny bites. Emmanuel, what does a hippo do? Do they take little bites? No. They open their mouths so wide. Benji, how wide can you open your mouth? Yeah, that's what a hippo does. Okay, that's what a hippo does. Open their mouth really wide. Sienna, how wide can you open your mouth? That's what a hippo does, okay? Hippos take big, massive bites of their food. And I think this year, what we want to try and do with God is be chompers. David is saying that God is really good. God is so good. David has found that God is so good. And he says, come and taste. Come and see how good he is. Take big bites of the goodness of God. Don't nibble. So when you get home and you decide that it's time to eat your chocolate bar, I don't want to... None of that. Big bites. Big bites. I want us to be hippos taking big bites of the Lord's goodness. See, David makes an invitation in this verse. The first half of the verse is David making an invitation. An invitation to taste and see. Taste and see what specifically? That the Lord is good. It's not taste and see that church family is nice, though that is a blessing of being part of God's family. It's not taste and see that forgiveness is good, though it is. It is taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. David wants us to know God and experience the goodness of God. It's like he's shouting, hey! Hey, Emmanuel! Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's shouting. He wants to get our attention. And maybe you've had this experience with food. Some people in the past have mocked Lizzie's cooking abilities. But, honestly, Lizzie's pear and apple crumble is the best pudding in the world. That's a bold claim, isn't it? Yeah. You know my mum's raspberry frangipan thing? I think your crumble is better than that. There you go. That's a serious compliment, isn't it? That is a serious... But as much as I tell you about this crumble, As much as I explain the sugariness and the way that she's fried the apples and pears in butter and put some cardamom in there and the way the crumble topping is just. As much as I describe it, nothing is going to compare to when you actually get to taste it. And David wants us to experience the goodness of God for ourselves. Come and taste. Or think of when you climb a hill. Maybe you haven't climbed a hill for a little while, but you can think of the idea, can't you? When you see a beautiful sunset or you climb a hill and you see scenery. There's this road, there's this part of the M40 back to Oxfordshire where you're going over a hill through some cliffs. And then the scene before you is just really beautiful. And in that moment, the desire in me is to say, hey, look at, see how good it is. And David's saying the same. David's saying, I've found that God is amazing. And I want you to see it. I want you to experience it. Maybe, I don't know if this has ever happened to you if you're a child. You do something. Sianna, maybe you can think of a time where you've done something but nobody's looking. And you're like, oh, Mum, come and see. Have you ever done that? Today. What were you doing? What did you do? Your sister was doing something and you wanted Mum, come and see. David is doing a bit like that with God. Okay, David wants us to come and see, come and taste, come and see how good God is. And so I thought it'd be interesting. Maybe some of us have done like David has and tasted and seen that the Lord is good in different ways. So just on your own for a moment, just think in your head of any way you can think of that you've tasted or seen that the Lord is good. Maybe recently, maybe in the distant past, maybe a big thing, maybe a small thing. Ways in which you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Hopefully you've got something in your head. Would anybody be willing to share an experience or a thing, a way in which you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good? That's great, isn't it?
So I'm still testing.
Yeah. Linda's testimony is when she was widowed, the Lord, through that series of events and through those years afterwards, has helped her to keep going, to have strength. She has tasted his goodness in that way over a number of years. Any other examples, ways in which, Emmanuel, how have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Great. When you do your daily devotional, you get a little taste, don't you, of God's goodness. When you open the Bible and you read it, you get a little taste of God's goodness. Excellent. Any other ways in which anybody at all, has tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Gosh, Josh. He helped you when you were having your tonsils cut out. When you were having something done to your mouth, which is the place in which you taste things, God helped you. You tasted and saw that the Lord was good through that experience. Yeah, any other? It might just be that you think, I could share something, but I don't really want to. Maybe the Spirit is prompting you to share something, and you're saying, no, I'm not going to. Anybody? Go on, Nigel.
I think over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of things that we've had to do that we've felt, and probably people being as well, that we felt very kind of ill-equipped for. But as you come in to God and ask for his help, you taste and see in that way, he's really proved himself. And he's helped us to do the things that we felt incapable of.
Great. Good. Great. In your weakness, crying out to the Lord and finding that he's actually really good. You've tasted and seen it. Here's a couple of other ways. We sang at the beginning in Clap Your Hands, Shout for Joy about Jesus who came and lived on earth. Christmas, at Christmas, we taste and we see the goodness of God as Jesus comes, God with us, to save us from our sin. If you know the burden of sin, perhaps this past week you've sinned in various ways and you feel a burden of that, Jesus says to you, there is much forgiveness because of the cross. You're completely forgiven. Does that feel good? Is that a good thing? Is that a nice thing? Your sins are completely forgiven. Is that good? Yeah, that's good, isn't it? In that, we taste and see that the Lord is good. And in all sorts of other ways, we taste and see that as he grants us eternal life, as he frees us from the penalty of sin, as he gifts to us family as brothers and sisters, as he gifts to us the ability and the joy of prayer, we taste and we see that he's good. And David's invitation is to come and taste more of God's goodness and understand and appreciate and experience more of God's goodness. And what we've done just there in a little way is we've just shared stories, we've shared testimonies of God's goodness to us, ways in which we've tasted and seen his goodness. And through Psalm 34, David is basically sharing his story of how he has found God to be good. So in Psalm 34, verse 8, we get David's invitation, taste and see that the Lord is good. We also get his testimony, his story. He has found, it's been his experience, that blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. David is a person who, in trouble, has taken refuge in God and found that if you do that, you are blessed. You find blessing, you find safety, you find protection, you find hope. That's what the psalm tells us. It says in verse 6, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his trouble. David's experience, his testimony is that blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. It's the way in which David has tasted that the Lord is good. And so he shares it with us. Emmanuel helped us with what a refuge is. What did you say? Take cover, like a shield. I wonder if we might be able to illustrate what a refuge does. It's a place of safety, okay, a refuge, a place of protection. And so we're going to try and illustrate what a refuge is. So David, he had all sorts of enemies and all sorts of troubles, and he found that God was a safe place. God protected him. And it works a little bit like this, and I need some help. Have you both got yours? Yeah, so I need three extra helpers. Mikey, can you come and help me? Sienna, can you come and help? Emmanuel, would you like to come and help? You don't know what you're doing yet, do you? Well, there's some other people can see. You have this one because it's a bit complicated. You have this one because I think it's ready to go. And you have this one because it's a bit difficult to use and they might not be able to do it, but you probably will. Is that all right? Okay, I'm going to take refuge.
Why do you want just the smallest?
Oh, it's the best. You have these because you might want to add some more. You just pop them in and pull this and then flick that, okay? I'm going to take refuge.
Yeah.
And you need to try and shoot me. Okay, but you're not allowed past, like, this line on the carpet. Can you see it? Yeah, you're not allowed past there, all right? I'm like David, and you are like David's enemies. You look like enemies to me, okay? And I'm going to take refuge. And I don't think you can get me. I feel very safe. Has anybody got a cup of tea? And from this position, David prays, and he realizes that he's safe from all of his enemies. There's just no way those bullets can get through. His enemies can't do anything to get him. He doesn't risk poking his head out like a silly person. He's just safe because he's taken refuge in the Lord. And I'm going to say that that's probably time to stop. We can. Okay, this has gone badly. I think we'll stop there. Maybe we can do some target practice later if your gun didn't really work. We can do some target practice later. Selena, could you just clear up? The idea is this. The idea is this. When you take refuge in God, you're safe. When you take refuge in God, you're safe. And Christians know that to be true as they trust Jesus, as they take refuge in Christ, as they trust him, they fear him, he keeps them safe from their biggest enemies. And so Jesus keeps Christians safe from Satan. And Jesus keeps Christians safe from their own sin. And Jesus keeps Christians safe from judgment. So every Christian who trusts Jesus, takes refuge in Jesus, is safe from sin and Satan and judgment. That's good. Safe with God, safe for eternal life, safe with God forever. That is good news. And as we explore that, as we sense that, as we think of the goodness, this week I have sinned in various ways and I deserve God's judgment. And Satan says to me, "You're bad, you deserve God's judgment." And I look at my refuge, I look at the Lord Jesus, I look at the cross, and I go, "No, I'm safe because of Jesus. Sin and Satan and judgment cannot get me because I'm safe with Jesus. And I have tasted and seen that that is good because God is good." And Romans chapter 8, maybe these will be familiar verses to you. Romans chapter 8, Paul's writing and he's trying to help Christians think about this. Just if you've still got Psalm 34 open, just look at the last couple of verses of Psalm 34 with me. It's over the page, 562. David's been explaining his experience of being in danger, of having enemies, of singing to God and trusting God and taking refuge in him. He's been inviting us to taste and see that the Lord is good and to sing with him. And then he says this in verse 22, Psalm 34, verse 22. He says, "The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." No one who... And that's what we've just been seeing. Sin and Satan cannot harm the Christian who takes refuge in God. And those verses remind me very much of Romans chapter 8. And here is what Paul says of the Christian. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Everyone who trusts in Jesus is safe forever with him. And listen to how safe Paul says we are as the chapter goes on. He says this, "What then shall we say in response? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christians who take refuge in Jesus are so safe that nothing can separate them from God's love because he is so good. And we can know that because he has given us his most precious son, his most precious thing, he will also give us everything that we need for everything that we face. And my hope is that as we go through the year, we'll taste and see that the Lord is good. He gives us his son and he gives us everything else that we need for everything else that we face. Truly it is the case, blessed are those who take refuge in him. So, in 2025, will you be a nibbler or a hippo? Will you be a nibbler? It's very thoughtful music as we... Will you be a nibbler? Maybe for lots of us, we've known God is good for years and years and years, but we haven't kind of fully committed. We haven't really experienced that much of his goodness. And so in 2025, stop having little bits of God and chomp at him. Taste. See, David isn't saying, think of a small child, or maybe a bigger child too, when you give them a new thing to taste. Say, try this, it's nice. Do you know what they... Do you ever do this? Any of you ever do? It's yucky. You know, anybody? If we do that with God, we won't really taste any of his goodness. And so David wants us to be chompers, taking big bites. Imagine instead the toddler that you give a chocolate cake to. Or imagine you give me one of these. Dairy milks are okay, but these are so much better. Have you ever seen anyone do this? Delicious. Well, So, we want one. No, anyone want one? Anybody like one? Anybody not satisfied with their dairy milk? Now, so much better than dairy milk. And you can't just nibble. And David wants us to have that kind of experience this year. See God. Taste God's goodness. Take big bites. Don't be a person who, once a week, opens the Bible to a random page, reads, and shuts the Bible. Gets to the end of the week and thinks, God is good. It's okay. That's nibbling. Be a person who sits and goes, wow, gosh, therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Seriously. God is that good. And read scripture and give your time and energy to reading scripture and ask the Lord to help you see that God is good. And if you then get to the end of the week having read scripture, ask him to help you see that he's good. And then you get to the end of the week and you go, come and talk to me about that. Because David says that won't be your experience. He says if you taste and you see, if you take big bites, you will indeed taste and see that the Lord is good. And I wonder if there are three kind of ways that we could just finish by applying Psalm 20, 34, verse 8. As we think about this idea of not being nibblers, but taking big bites of God's goodness, maybe three areas. It might be that you're here and you like coming to church, but you're not a Christian. You're not trusting Jesus. You kind of think, if God was real, he'd make himself more obvious. Something like that. I wonder if David's invitation to you today is to taste and see. Be active, like we were talking about earlier. Be active. Take some bites of who God is and see, is he good? Taste and see, is he good? What's stopping you this year from trusting Jesus and tasting his goodness? Maybe you could pray something like this. Lord, I'm not sure about you. I've got doubts. I need you to show me your goodness. And then open the Bible and read of Jesus and see what you find. See if you do indeed taste and see that he's good. It might be that we're entering 2025 and you're kind of a weary Christian. You've been a Christian for many years and there's lots of things that weigh you down and you find hard. That's a really normal part of the Christian experience. Might be you need to pray something like this. Lord, I believe you're good. I've tasted and seen in the past that you're good. But as we enter this new year, I'm finding it hard to see, hard to taste. Please help me. And you know, that is the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. It might be that you need a friend to help you in this season to taste and see that the Lord is good, because you're finding it really hard. Ask a friend to help you taste and see that the Lord is good through this season. But I wonder if for many of us, we're entering 2025, we want to live for Jesus, we want to trust him, we want to walk with him, we want to know God is good, we want to take big bites. I wonder if some of us, lots of us, just kind of get stuck in a bit of a plodding rhythm. That's all right, that's normal for the Christian life, there'll be seasons of plodding. But I wonder if the invitation of Psalm 34 verse 8 at the beginning of this year is to put this to the test, put David to the test. David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is that true? Put David to the test in some way. Think of a way in which you want to experience the goodness of God and then put it to the test. Imagine David saying to you, in any area of your life, you can put this to the test and it will be proved true. So think of your, think of maybe it is your Bible reading. You read the Bible often and you think, nah. This year, ask the Lord to help you taste and see that he's good in your Bible reading. Maybe it's an area of your Christian life, a sin you've been struggling with for years and years and years. And you just think, I can't taste and see the Lord's goodness in my battle with sin anymore. Ask him to help you taste and see his goodness and then fight that sin and see what happens. It could be, and this is an area I was thinking of, it could be giving financially or your time and energy, your kind of generosity. It could be that we want to test David in this area with our giving, our service, or our finances. And so we think, okay, I'm gonna give more than I've ever given before. And Lord, I'm going to do it, and I want to taste and see that you're good. Because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we can trust that, and we can taste and see the Lord's goodness in our generosity. And so you go home and you say, right, I'm going to scrap that thing and do this thing for the Lord instead. Or I'm going to give much more financially than I ever have before. And Lord, I'm going to do it, and I want to taste and see that you're good. And I think David is trying to persuade us that if we do it, we will indeed taste and see his goodness. Well, maybe you can think of an area of your life as you enter 2025 that you just want to increasingly see that the Lord is good. Put this verse to the test. Try it out. See if it's true. We're going to have a moment now to reflect as Lizzie and Lydia play a song that takes us through Psalm 34. So they're going to play and sing. I'll put the words up. You can join in if you want to as you get familiar with the tune, and then we'll probably sing it over the next few weeks. But just use this time as we sit to reflect on Psalm 34, verse 8. Our Father, in so many ways, and most clearly in the Lord Jesus, you have shown us your goodness. You've made it known to us that you love your people. You've made it known to us that you're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That you're full of compassion. That you're kind. And we want to ask and pray that this year you would help us in all sorts of ways, in familiar ways and new ways, help us, please, to taste and see that you are good. Amen.